Do a quick 15 minutes of game day uncensored. Brought to you by the Lexus RX, the luxury SUV. For those who never want to lose their edge, experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. And we look ahead to Sunday. You'll have game day uncensored beginning at 9 a.m. Brendan Tobin, Alejandro Solana, Adam Beasley, Omar Kelly breaking down Miami and Arizona. Dolphins are a 3-point favorite, believe it or not, over the Cardinals. But yesterday, Crowder disappeared for a couple hours today to tape Saquon Barkley with the pivot. But yesterday, when we were reacting to the Dolphins game, I had asked Crowder for some letter grades, and I said coaching, and he said F. And then I read from USA Today, they had coaching at a B-. And he couldn't believe that. And I wanted to share today from the Sun Sentinel, they did letter grades on all the positions and coaching, and then they did stock up, stock down. I'm just going to give you coaching because it's a different grade than what we heard yesterday. In the Sun Sentinel, they give coaching a D. Still better than Crowder's F, but still a D. And they write, okay, we all clamored for the Dolphins to stick with the run after it was effective in the previous win against New England. But no one said take Hill and Waddle out of the game entirely to get it done. Also, the decision to kick the long field goal instead of going for it on 4th-and-1 after Ingold was stopped on 3rd-and-1 could be questioned, but the points were vital there if Miami could have gotten that kick to go through. So I agree. There is no scenario in the world that Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle should be as useless as they were on Sunday. That, to me, is on coaching and on the quarterback. I give coaching either a D or an F when it comes to Sunday's game. But I do agree with the decision to kick the field goal. Missing that field goal in a dome, that's on Jason Sanders. You've got to hit that field goal if you're an NFL kicker. So I don't mind going for the field goal there. In the Sun Sentinel, stock up and stock down. Stock up, Jonnu Smith. That's an easy one. We've gone from Miami's new tight end and being a complete non-factor early in the season to now being the only pass catcher the Dolphins can find. His big game, although it came down with so much of the Colts' defensive attention geared towards Hill and Waddle, can give to a big boost over the middle upon his return. An honorable mention for Hand on the defensive line. He's played more than 30 defensive snaps in 4 consecutive games, contributing 3 tackles, 1 for loss, and a quarterback hit on Sunday. Stock down, according to the Sun Sentinel, Tyreek Hill. Also an easy one, they say, after he was taken out of the game by Indianapolis's pass defense, which entered ranked 26th. Sure, the quarterback play has something to do with it, but at 294 receiving yards through 6 games, it's not even a guarantee he'll end up with a 1,000-yard season, let alone his previous lofty goals of 2,000 from last season. I disagree with that. I don't think any of that's on Tyreek Hill. You can't tell me that Tyreek Hill is doing anything different this season than he did last season or the seasons with Kansas City. This, for me, is all quarterback play. And when you write there that the Indianapolis defensive backs shut him down, even though they're ranked 26th, I would submit to you, no, they're ranked 26th because they're not very good. That's another reason the quarterback needs to get the ball up in the air towards Tyreek Hill.
At least give him a chance, which is what you were saying yesterday. Like, at a certain point, just throw the ball. Like, he's double covered. Who cares? He's Tyreek Hill.
Who
just
cares?
Give him a chance. Give him a chance. I'd rather the ball go towards Tyreek Hill and it gets picked off, but at least you're trying to get him the ball. You're trying.
That game was so frustrating on so many levels, but for me, the most frustrating part was watching Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle not get targets.
Run wind sprints. They're doing cardio out there, Hawk.
Crazy. I mean, just crazy to me. Literally. Throw the ball up in the air.
Yeah.
Try to get a PI.
Throw it as far as you can. 10 times. Throw it as far as you can 10 times. And at least one of those 10 times, Tyreek Hill is going to find a way to go get the ball.
Absolutely infuriating. But it does remind me, and we started the show, if you weren't listening at 2 o'clock, I read to you and Crowder a David Fioronis tweet. The Miami Dolphins passing leaders through six games. The passing leader for the Miami Dolphins through six games is Tua Tagovailoa, who has played six quarters.
Oh, my God.
Great. He's got 483 yards passing. Tyler Huntley has 377 yards. Skylar Thompson, 187 yards. And Tim Boyle, 153 yards. The fact that you've played six games and Tua played a game and a half and is still your leading passer doesn't say to me that Indianapolis shut down Tyreek Hill, because they didn't play Indianapolis for 4.5 games. It's an indictment on your backup quarterback play. Period, end of story.
This is where you and I differ. It is an indictment on the backup quarterback play, and I'm with you. The Dolphins obviously dropped the ball in a very big way by not having a good backup quarterback. Like, we're in agreement there. But I still think you have Tyreek Hill, you have Jalen Waddle, you have weapons, you have Odell Beckham Jr., who you got, you have Jonnu Smith. I mean, you have guys, Devon Achane, Raheem Mostert, who can also catch passes in the backfield. It is, to me, more of an indictment on the head coach not figuring out a way, Hawk, to adjust and to find ways, regardless of the situation, regardless who's throwing passes, to get those guys the ball. After four games and a bye week included, 5 weeks to figure it out for one game to at least
quarterbacks who are literally incapable of getting the ball out to them.
Yeah, I don't know. Because I saw it with Tyler Huntley. I saw it with Baltimore. I'm not saying he turned into Peyton Manning or Tom Brady. I'm not saying that. But he didn't look like this. He didn't look this inept with Baltimore. He won some games with Baltimore, filling in for Lamar Jackson. Harbaugh figured out a way, despite his deficiencies, to put him in a position to make some plays. Mike McDaniel has not figured out a way, despite having 5 weeks to do so, to put his players in a position to make plays. That, to me, is a huge, huge indictment on the head coach. Huge.
It's fair. I'm not disagreeing with any of that. But for me, knowing what the Dolphins offense has done with Tua and Mike McDaniel, and watching what's happened since, that's an indictment, to me, on personnel. Now, could Mike McDaniel figure out some way to maximize their talents? Maybe. Okay, I'll give you that. John Harbaugh seemingly had more success with Tyler Huntley than Mike McDaniel has had. But the personnel decisions of keeping Skyler over Mike White, bringing in Tim Boyle over anyone, literally anyone, and then just trying to make it work with Tyler Huntley when he's been on the team for 2-3 weeks. Just bad personnel decisions, right, over and over and over again.
Agreed. And I'm the blame here. I'm the guy who said Skylar Thompson. I was the leader of the Skylar Thompson Brigade. So clearly I don't know anything either. But, bro, this guy is under Mike McDaniel for 3 years, and he made no progress? From the last time we saw him almost beating Buffalo in a playoff game, he made no progress. He got worse over 3 years. Aren't you supposed to be developing him? There's a reason they kept him. Isn't it the head coach's job to develop a player you've kept for 3 years to make him better under your guidance? And they didn't?
Somebody texts in, tweets in, guys, they were playing two safety over the top. Essentially, both Tyreek and Waddle were double covered. Yeah, we talked about that yesterday. In that easy tweet explanation, then you can never have a star receiver in the NFL. Play two safety over the top, you never have a star receiver because everybody's double covered. It just doesn't work that way. The reason that Tyreek Hill gets as much money as he does, the reason Jalen Waddle gets the contract extension that he does, is because they're able to make you pay if you double team them. You are able, a good quarterback and a good scheme and a great receiver is able to figure out a way to beat a double team. It's as silly as saying, oh, you want to take Michael Jordan out of the game? Double team him. Like, there's a reason that they're superstars at what they do. So I get conceptually going into a game. But Randy Moss went into every game with a defensive coordinator saying, we'll double Moss. And guess what? Randy Moss still had 12 receptions for 160 yards. It's not because they forgot he was out there. Because the quarterback had either A, the confidence to throw it to him even if he was double covered, B, he was running routes that got himself free of the double coverage, or C, he's just better than the double coverage. And that's how I feel about Tyreek Hill. I get it. I get going into a game and ostensibly scheming out their best offensive threat. But why wouldn't every team do that against every top receiver? Why wouldn't every top receiver end a game with one reception for 8 yards?
Yeah, and when I'm putting the blame on McDaniel Hawk, don't get it twisted. You know how I feel about Chris Greer. Like, I'm not saying that this doesn't fall on him, because I think part of it is an offensive line that has holes outside of your two tackles, maybe. And the other part of it is just the fact that they're not well-built anywhere outside of Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and Tua Tagovailoa. But to your point, how did Randy Moss continue to get targets? Well, there was a scheme drawn up by a play caller, by an offensive coordinator, to figure out a way to get the guy who's the highest paid player on your roster the ball. And who's responsible for that? Mike McDaniel.
Do you think Tyreek Hill wasn't getting double teamed last year?
Right.
I mean right. It's such a simple, like, I get it. If I'm the defensive coordinator, I'm going to say, hey, we got to double team Tyreek Hill, or we got to play two safety over the top because we don't want to have the receivers beat us. But guess what? They were saying that all last season, and Tyreek's flirting with 2,000 yards.
And it's not just this game, man, because, you know, people are saying, oh, there were plays, Huntley just didn't get the ball to him. Man, this isn't just a one-game sample size. You're talking about four games with different quarterbacks, not just Huntley, Skyler, Boyle, Huntley, four games where Mike McDaniel couldn't figure out how to get Waddle and Tyreek the ball, Hawk. Four games.
Oh, Bo, man, I got that.
And by the way, I think Tua should wear one of those Guardian things just for.
By the way,
just for
I
got to
tell you, I came
for
in
Hollywood's sake.
First thing on Monday morning, I was listening to you guys on Sunday, and I heard you talking about that on the broadcast. You called it a marshmallow or something.
Right. Well, it looks like marshmallows on there.
And by the way, when you finished, Jimmy, of course, took shots at the sides of my head. He just took a whole different way, and I was like, oh, this is great. This is what happens when you're struggling to win a freaking game. That's where we are, and you're telling me he doesn't look like he's coming back in. And
you know your team's going south when you got to do shtick on the radio when you're broadcast.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, no. So what do you expect? What, just your gut knowing Tua's going to play Sunday, what do you expect?
You know what? I can't look up on these TVs you got in here and not see Tua on the
screen. I'm not getting into whether he should play or not.
That's beyond that. Look, he's going to play. I'm beyond that, you know. But I think the running game is going to kind of give him a little bit of a more.
I think they run well
that,
against
that helps
this team
a little
again.
Bit. Something yeah. that helps a little bit and opens up that thing. But you know, they're showing all the highlights of him throwing to Tua and Waddle. And it makes me remember that. And I go, well, then hopefully we get that. We get that and get those guys playing the way they want to play. Because let me tell you what. Those guys, as frustrated as the fans are at the lack of production out of those two guys, the receivers, they're just as frustrated about not being able to get the ball thrown to them. How do you got one last play in the game. And you overthrow a guy on the sideline, not even throw to
the 12-yard line,
I mean,
about 3 yards out.
I mean, you know, it's
that would be it for me for him playing right there.
Exactly.
Bo, did he know his fourth down?
He would have to. He would have to.
He spiked it.
Same thing happened with the game before in Seattle, where you had no time on the clock at all, and you throw a little dump off in the middle of the field. Well, come on now, you know.
all I could think of is Boyle had a vision of throwing the end zone and having Javon Holland run it back 99 yards again. That's all I could think. That's all I could think of.
Oh, gosh.
Now,
it was Boyle that threw that interception in New York. I didn't even realize that.
Yes,
oh, jeez. Oh, if I'd have known that, I'd have been all over that.
Oh, no, you know. It's a good thing I didn't tell you. Like, hey, Bo, I know why he threw it out of bounds. Incomplete pass versus a guy
picking it off. I think, I'm not going to say we're going to see a 32-point outburst or something like that, but you'd at least like to see some passes downfield.
Yeah.
You know, and some big plays and the frustration of these guys I think it's almost come to the point with Tyreek and Waddle. I'm not talking about the third receiver because he hasn't done a damn thing yet. And he's got more targets than those guys have and hardly any passes.
Odell.
But I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not mentioning the name. But you know, I think that. You know, those guys get frustrated when the quarterback can't give them the ball.
Right.
So I think as the game goes on, they probably don't – I'm not saying they don't run as hard, but they probably – it's not that same effort or that same sharpness that you would get if you know the ball's probably coming to you, right? You're a receiver, then you
–
You get in the fourth quarter, you've only had one target. You go, well, what am I running for? Because they're not going to throw it to me anyway.
Well, I want to give you a combination of why I think – they're going to look completely different. And I've been, by the way, just getting killed for all my positive takes on trying to get something going with this offense. But they're running the ball well. They got the same starting five, playing as well as they've played. They got a tight end blocking. They got a fullback blocking. And I just think the thing that's missing has nothing to do with too deep. I'm so sick of hearing about too deep.
Joe, when did this come up? They've been playing too deep in this league. Forever.
Long before you and I were around.
Forever. So all of a sudden, too deep is some mystical defense that you can't.
Speaking of Boyle.
I remember that the Tampa 2 used to be the, you know, okay, because there's, okay, the linebacker's got the deep middle. Big deal, you know?
Yeah, so I think now that all those things are good, we got a healthy offensive line, same guys that have run for a lot of yards. This is the best they've played. And Tua coming back, you can run your offense, and Mike doesn't have to, you know, which, by the way, I don't know why we have a bunch of quarterbacks that with no thought of one of them that can run the original offense, but that's not for today.
And by the way, you talk about the offensive line. You know, here you've got Tyreek has been playing. I mean, not Tyreek, Teron has been playing the last few games and not going out.
Right.
I mean, he's been he's been really a difference maker.
He's
certainly a difference maker. And so he's played, I think in the last 2 weeks, he's played the full game. He's played healthy.
Yes.
And I talked to him after the game. Look, you know, I talked to him, you know, he's one of those guys that when they have a game like they had last week, he's one of the guys that they bring out to me. And he's always, you can ask him anything and he'll give you the straight talk. And he's always positive. And so I have got a great admiration for him as a guy, but to see him to be able to play like he has right now, you know, with that as choppy as it was last year and early in this season, you know, hopefully he can play a couple games and stay in for the whole time and give this offense the boost with and give Tua a little extra time back there.
And again, I've said this before because I thought. We let a few games get away from teams that aren't very good. I don't think you think the Colts are very good today.
No.
Okay.
No.
I just want to make sure.
Well, look, this is how the
Tennessee Titans have not looked nearly that good since
Look at the Colts, and this is – you talk about disrespecting a quarterback to me. You had Jalen Ramsey corner blitz like four times.
Right.
You had another corner – you had five corner blitzes in that game against that quarterback, and they just kept doing it. So obviously they don't think he can throw the ball and get it to anybody. So we're gonna take our so-called best defender, the pass defender, and we're just gonna blitz him.
Yeah, that's all
four times.
And he acted like he hadn't seen it before. He's getting rid of the ball, and we had tight coverage, so it was definitely a belief they couldn't throw it down the field, which I thought would be. And of course, the turnovers end up being the difference. But they're playing another team. And the Arizona Cardinals, whose stats defensively are right down there with some of the teams we've been playing, like, it's a perfect time.
Yeah.
As Baldy said, their best pass rusher just went on IR. He got hurt in the last game, ACL, so he's done. You got to beat up on this team at home.
Yeah, you know, and they're
get healthy.
Off, they're coming off that old little thing that, hey, you played Monday night and then you got to travel.
That too.
You know. So,
and that does make a difference. So you go at the Bills next.
Yeah.
Where we'll see. That hasn't been – we haven't figured out.
At this point, what I'm hoping for is that it's not too cold right now. Because, unless we see something really dramatic this week, they're going to probably – there'll probably be – hey, you don't think they'd be double digit underdogs if they go up to Buffalo next week, right?
No. Can't be.
Seven, what do you think?
7 or 8.
That's big. That's a big number.
Well, they're not going to be a 2-point dog, I'm telling you that.
No.
Well, wouldn't
what
it depend
they did to
I mean,
us down here?
Yeah, but I know a lot depends, I guess, on how it would look this week, right?
No, that's fair.
Seven is usually like those kinds of numbers though are usually reserved for like when you get like the top teams against like the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah. Well, we're not very far from the Carolina Panthers right now, my friend. Well, 2 wins.
Joe tells me it's going to be better this week.
Why? Well, I'm expecting it too.
I'm expecting it too.
Rams, Raiders, Patriots.
Yeah,
you got to win all three of those. Yeah. I don't care. Yeah. L.A. Monday night.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, what?
It's fine.
I know they're saying the same thing. I tell you that every time I say
actually,
that.
They're probably not.
They're all looking at us.
Those teams are probably full in on the let's get a good draft pick deal.
You just hope that this is – it'd be great to see this game bust out and put 35 points on the board and you go, hey, here we are. We're back. Now you start looking at those games and saying, hey,
some guys get some
we can get, now we can get – now we – okay, now yeah, we've got these teams coming up. And especially if you could go up there and steal one from Buffalo up there on the road – and win up there, then you really got your confidence, you know.
Well, that's a season changer if that happens. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
No, I'm just saying, you know, I'm still clinging to 7-0. You know,
are those 7 games up yet? No, we're not quite there. This is it.
Just to give you an idea, though, like you know, when you get a big spread, like Vegas is playing Kansas City.
Yeah,
that's a 10-point spread. That game's like a joke.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, there's a team throwing in the towel.
I mean, you got Denver and Carolina. Denver's favored by 9.5.
Yeah.
The biggest spread, by the way, is Detroit and Tennessee. Tennessee is like a dumpster fire.
Well, in Detroit, I tell you,
Detroit's really good.
Detroit looks like a monster, don't they?
That game's in Detroit.
Yeah,
I mean, that has blowout written all over.
Oh, that
right?
team.
And then the Browns are the other team that just gets no respect. Yeah. The Browns are 8.5-point underdogs
in Baltimore. They're terrible too.
Yeah, but there you go. Like
I had them as a tough game at the end of the year, and all of a sudden,
Detroit's one of those. Detroit looks to me like one of those teams that is just so pissed at what happened in the playoff game
that they're
on a mission. You know,
I wouldn't count them out. Like if you're looking at teams that can win the whole thing,
Short of losing Hutchinson's a big deal for them, but it's still. They haven't skipped a beat.
No,
you know?
No, it's crazy. Hey, we got to go.
So if the Dolphins look semi-competent this weekend, then maybe
they
get a little
better.
Bit of a benefit. Wouldn't you?
Well, that's why,
win this game and they put up 20-something or 30 points or whatever.
Tyreek goes nuts and Jalen goes nuts.
He didn't, sometimes he,
don't
he looks
you,
at
you,
he
you
didn't
listen.
Selective listening. But
yeah, I get it.
He didn't want to listen.
Yeah,
maybe
terrible.
Get the spread down to 6.
Yeah, he's looking for baseball cards and
no, and football and anything
don't
else.
Don't worry, we have something very, very special for
you. Did you get some? Did you pick up some Taylor Swift cards? Did she have trading cards?
No, did you hear earlier we were talking about Kelsey fell asleep?
Did you hear about Goldie?
Yeah, Goldie went there. Goldie was
not
a Swift.
Not only did he go,
he had bags. He was trading bracelets.
Yeah. You knew.
Whoa. And he didn't bring it. You know, he doesn't have a daughter, does he?
No.
No, right. So I could see it if he's bringing his daughter.
He's out there with little girls going, let's go home, baby.
Yeah, come on.
You know, those. I didn't mean it that way it came out, but that his say. You know, that thing he says at the end of games.
That bracelet. I'll trade you this one for that one. Right? What's that, Gold? Come on, Goldie.
he's a big Swiftie.
I bet already Tyreek Hill over on receiving yards. I bet it last night. I think it was... I got to see what it's at right now. I got to see if it went... up or down. I put it in at 81.5. Over 81.5 receiving yards.
Hmm.
Because he should have. Remember what we talked about before the season?
100-yard games.
And how many does he have?
This year?
One or none?
None.
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 This year, yeah.
You cannot tell me that Tyreek Hill is going to go a season without a 100-yard game. So I would submit to you, and remember, he was so happy yesterday going, hey, if you've got me in fantasy, start me. We're back, baby. It's up to 83.5 now. I got it at 81.5. I'm just looking at it right now. It's 83.5. So I wasn't the only one who saw that.
Yeah. Six and a half receptions over under.
That one I paused on because I thought that was a little high. But 81.5 yards I thought was a great over under.
I think I might jump on that one even at 83.
83.5. Because it's gotta go up. It has to. Like everyone, I'm guessing you're gonna see as practice continues this week, and then all of a sudden by Sunday game time, like the excitement level for Tua being back and Mike McDaniel being able to run the offense that he loves to run. Like, yeah. I mean, this has all signs pointing to a Tyreek Hill monster game.
I'm with you. And he got to get back on top. And
why
now,
are you laughing? Because it's my same rationalization for Bam going over last night.
Because it's the exact same thing we've done all season long.
Well, like, but Tua, admittedly, is a huge variable.
I'm with you, but I need to see it, don't you?
Well, you've seen it with Tua, though.
No, but
he was flirting with 2,000 yards last year. Like, you've seen Tua and Tyreek together.
Is it not crazy, though? I mean, it's his first game back since another scary concussion. We can talk about these guys being as confident as ever and Mike McDaniel revitalizing Tua's career and his confidence, but you don't think there's going to be a tad bit of an adjustment period for Tua to get reacclimated?
No.
To the NFL, Hawk?
No. People miss NFL games all the time.
Yeah, but not when they're literally like fencing on the ground for the second time.
He was fine when he walked off the field.
I understand what Solana's saying, though. If a guy sprains his ankle, is he as mobile as he used to be? If a guy tears up his wrist or his shoulder, like, oh, let me see if his body right. Tua said he was fine the day after the concussion.
He was fine.
Tua's been sitting around feeling great for a month and a half. So I understand what you're saying, Solana, but I think with the concussion thing, like, it's not like, I would say it's not like hurting yourself. Maybe one of the worst injuries you can have, whatever, with the CTE and all. But it's not that question of, is his body right? His body's right. He can throw. His shoulder's fine. His wrist's fine. His legs are fine.
But he doesn't want to get hit. And there's a difference between feeling fine on the couch and then putting on a helmet.
You're saying he doesn't want to get hit. Did you watch him in his press conference? He didn't seem to be affected at all by what has transpired.
Everybody's telling him, get down, slide. You can't get hit again.
And they told him that before this season. And he went out there and he did what he wanted to do.
And Solana, he already said, I released the ball fast. And we know he has one of the fastest releases in the NFL.
Like, I'm not doubting his abilities. Like, we all know what Tua is capable of. We all know what Tua, Tyreek, and Waddle are capable of when they're on the field together. I'm just saying, don't expect, just because Tua's back now, for this offense to look the way it did last year when they were clicking, when one, they haven't looked that way at all this year with or without Tua. Two, they were god-awful without Tua for 4 weeks, and now all of a sudden he's back on the field after another scary head injury. To me, putting all this pressure on Tua to go out there and make this work again right off the bat is just foolish.
I mean, they came out week one. He played, what, one preseason snap? It came out week one. He threw for over 300 yards. Like, I don't...
But did the offense look good, Hawk?
All I'm talking about is Tyreek getting over 81.5 yards receiving. Like, that doesn't seem like the offense has to put up 48 points. Like, that's a... Somebody texts in, Hawkman, you can adjust the line on yardage however you want. You can make it 50 yards. Okay, thanks, but I don't want to risk $600 to win 100. Like, you realize, Texter, you don't just pick a number out of the hat and say, that's my over-under. Like, the line is set at 81.5. If you want to buy it down to 50, you're paying a pretty good premium there. If you could just pick any number, I'd pick one.
Since I started hanging out and gambling with you, I look at games and I'll be watching a game with somebody and a non-gambler, and they'll be like, who you got? And I'm like, oh, the Bears, but they have to win by three. Why by three?
Right.
Because like, the line's 2.5, so they have to win by three or more.
Yeah, they cannot comprehend it.
Who picked that number?
Yeah.
Vegas.
Right. Like,
who in Vegas?
Why?
Huh?
Or if, like, you know, you go, what was the line? Oh, it was 2.5 on this game. Yeah, but they won by 16. I'm like, yeah, I mean, the line's not always spot on. Well, that's terrible, though. They're like, terrible by who? Like, gambling seems to be doing pretty well. Like, the industry seems to be working. No one needs to fix it. They're making a lot of money.
And you know what?
I love when they go, you're like, you go, oh, I had Green Bay, but man, they lost in the last second. And they go, oh, that's because you'll never beat the sports books. Like, you'll never beat Vegas. And I go, you think everyone bet Green Bay? Like, half the people are betting the other team. Half the people are thrilled that there was a last minute change in the game.
I'm starting to get tired of explaining gambling to people.
I know.
I'm not going to lie.
It gets tough sometimes.
I'll just say, as somebody asked, you know, what were his numbers the last concussion? So remember, he went out week 4 against Cincinnati versus the Bengals. He missed 2 games, and then he came back. It was a Thursday night or Sunday night football game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's the Noah Igbinoghene game, by the way. And Tua in that game, 21 of 35, 261 yards, and a touchdown. The Dolphins only scored 16 points, but, I mean, those are solid numbers.
I mean, he's got, in my estimation, if he doesn't put up over 200 yards passing, something's very off in Mike McDaniel's offense. Not Tua.
Yeah.
It's not going to be Tua and, oh, he's foggy or whatever. The dude was fine walking away from that concussion that moment. He told you he did not have any lingering symptoms. He told you, I'm not wearing the Guardian cap. I'm going out there to play football. Like, if he doesn't throw for at least 200 yards, something is dramatically wrong with that offense.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. It's not my, like, if Tyreek and Waddle are non-existent again, there's something off in the offense.
You have everybody. Mostert's back. You have everybody.
Is Teron Armstead going to be out there?
We don't know. He didn't practice yesterday. I don't know if he practiced today. But my guess is, like, it's just veteran rest. I don't think there's any sort of injury with Teron Armstead.
All right, let's get headlines, because Don Bailey Jr. is going to join us this hour. Headlines with Solana, brought to you by Durell Volkswagen. At Durell Volkswagen, choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock, like the Tiguan, Taos, and Atlas. And remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Durell Volkswagen.
In that first game, Backhawk, by the way, I'll just throw this out there, 4 carries, 15 yards for Tua Tagovailoa against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, I'm not betting his overs. I looked at the rushing overs. There's one for Achan, and that's it so far in the Dolphins. Tua will have a rushing prop, but I ain't betting it.
What if it's half a yard?
I ain't betting it. Because I do believe kind of what you said there, which is they've told him under no circumstance.
But I think Tua, as you're saying, with all the confidence, is thinking to himself, I'm fine. I can run if I want to.
I guarantee you. By the way, there has been a little misconception about him not wearing the Guardian cap. I don't know if you've read this week. He's wearing the safest quarterback-approved helmet that there is. I can't remember what the name is. It's a very long name. It actually has a higher concussion protection rate than a helmet with a Guardian cap. So I saw Raheem Mostert talking about it. Yeah. He's like, there's been some confusion about Tua because he was very flippant with the answer, personal decision. But he's wearing the highest graded concussion helmet that is available for quarterbacks. You know, you have those different levels for each position. The helmet he's wearing has a higher protection level than a helmet with a Guardian cap.
Oh, it's going to be big as hell.
It's going to be big.
He's going to look like Jimmy Neutron.
It's the VICIS-02 Matrix ID helmet, which according to ESPN is designed for quarterbacks. It apparently is graded higher in terms of protection than other helmet models, even factoring in the new soft shell covering of a Guardian cap.
So a little bit of a clarification there for people who thought, oh, he doesn't care. He does.
The great gazoo. Hello, dum-dum. He will say, no, but back to the rushing thing. Don't run. Don't do anything. Don't get hit. And I said it, curl up. Man covers, they take off, and nobody's open. He scatters for 4 yards.
Maybe. And runs right out of bounds.
Runs out of bounds or just slides.
But I wonder, will the rushing prop be based on what his other rushing props were this season, which was 11.5, 7.5? Like, I don't know if it'll be a half yard.
only Skylar Thompson had just skedaddled a little bit to get us 6 damn yards in Seattle, or 7 damn yards in Seattle. That bum.
Bum.
Man, his ribs hurt, man. Leave him alone.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline Shop. Hundreds of Toyotas indoors. One of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
All right, Woody. Adam Beasley from Pro Football Network. It's been a while. Man, I haven't even seen Bees for a while, but I heard his questions to Tua Tagovailoa, who will be back at practice today for the first time in 5 weeks. Bees, good morning. How you doing?
It's a great day for the Miami Dolphins, for sure.
So, listen, I think there's unbelievable pressure on him, and I don't know how good the rest of the team is to start with, because I really don't. Do you have a feel for this team with him coming back on how good we are?
Well, if you take the first 6 quarters as kind of a foreshadowing of the year to come, it's not totally enthusiastic, right? I mean, what they needed a miracle fumble to beat the Jaguars. I think they moved the ball pretty good against the Bills. I think that gets forgotten. And they would have been a lot more competitive in that game if they had a real number three receiver. Two of his three picks were on the receiver in that game, if you remember. So, you know, they were able to move the ball. But, look, this is a team that just – I can't remember a Dolphins team that shoots itself in the foot more than this one does.
Yeah, good point.
And what's wild about this team is it's not just the same thing every week, well, except for the special teams, because that's been horrendous every single week. But beyond that, like, it's somebody else every week who's screwing up. If you would have told me that Alec Ingold would have cost them a game by fumbling, I would say you're absolutely nuts. I mean, he is one of the most dependable guys on that roster. And even he's not immune to all these screw-ups. So, yeah, I think bringing Tua back is going to be a huge help. You go and watch the tape, the passing game with those cast of characters that they've had. And, you know, you think about this. They've gotten meaningful snaps this year out of Snoop Huntley, out of Skylar Thompson, and out of Tim Boyle. Those might be three of the worst 10 rostered quarterbacks in the National Football League. And that's what's been trying to get them through this four-game stretch. It's absolutely going to look better than it has, but is it going to be 2023? And that's the real question.
Yeah, no. I agree. And by the way, I agree with all your stuff. So this, no matter who's playing quarterback, I still, for the life of me, forget the numbers, but the targets of the way Waddle and Hill, I just don't. And the thing I think that's really irritates me the most is they're taking away with too deep. They're taking away all our deep stuff. Isn't there other routes you can run, no matter who's throwing the football, that two guys that you're paying that kind of money, you got to be able to get them the football, right?
Yeah, they can't just be decoys. That's nuts. I'm going to give a bit of nuance. I think the only way that they were in that game on Sunday was by running the ball 40 times. It's the only reason they beat the Patriots. That's the only reason that and the game plan would have worked if Raheem Mostert and Alec Ingold didn't fumble and Jason Sanders didn't clang a field goal. Now, does that kind of game plan give you very little margin for error? Sure. But that, to me, beats dropping back and throwing 40 times with Snoop and Tim Boyle, because that is a recipe for disaster. Now, I think we're going to see a lot more of the passing game, obviously, with Tua back, but they should not get away from the run. You look at when they go under center, they do play action, the things that open up, you go and watch the tape, there were touchdowns there for Snoop and Boyle on Sunday. They just didn't have the quarterbacks to execute. And I think, you know, Mike McDaniel, he who never says a bad word about anybody, even acknowledged, dude, those guys weren't very good, all right? Yeah. So when your own head coach, who's the most sunshiny dude out there, is saying these guys aren't very good, they're not good. So, yes, do I think that Mike failed in not scheming up easy passes for Tyreek and Waddle more? Absolutely. But, like, I think Tyreek only ran, like, 24 routes in that game, all right? I mean, like, this was a downhill running strategy that they had.
Yeah.
And let's not act like Jonnu Smith wasn't a real factor in that game, because he was the guy that was open. So I think you still can't force it to them. But to your point, there are ways to scheme it up, and I think Tua is going to find them open in a way that Snoop could not.
Let's talk about Tua for a second. He comes back, and obviously I don't know what he's thinking, but I think he's got a lot of pressure to really – carry this team and get this thing balanced. You hope you can keep running the ball the way you are, 180, 190 yards in these last two games they've had. But you got to get some of that passing game back. Maybe not where it was the last 2 years, but a lot of it back. He's talked about changes. He made it real clear to you on your question. Listen, man, I appreciate the fans and everything else. I want to friggin' play. He's going to play. What's your take on what Tua's going to look like coming back?
Yeah, so first of all, let's talk about the health side of it. There's no one on the planet that has more information about Tua's brain than Tua,
yes.
Right? Those of us on the outside think we know, he knows, okay? And he has all the stats, he has all the scans, he has all the advice, he has friends in his ear, he has family in his ear. He knows. To me, if something bad happens, it's kind of on Tua at this point, right? You can only concern troll so much, right, for some of these people that are out there that are like, oh, Tua, hand-wringing and all this. At the end of the day, he has all the information. He is processing that information and saying, I'm a football player, I'm going to play. I'm not saying that completely absolves the Dolphins or the National Football League completely. They need to look out for the guy. But, you know, it's kind of like smoking. We know smoking's not good for you. If you still smoke in this day and age, I'm not going to have a ton of sympathy if something goes bad. Now, I don't think it's like that for Tua because of all the information that he has, and what we've heard is that, you know, every single doctor, and he's seen the top specialists in the country, maybe on the planet, when it comes to brain health, saying that you're not putting yourself at additional future risk. There's always risk when you play football, but it's not like you're an added risk than anyone else who's playing. I get it. I get why this is so crucial to his identity that he has to play, and I understand it. And if there are negative consequences, he went in with eyes wide open, right? I mean, he absolutely knows all the studies. He knows all the research. And I think that the Guardian cap debate that they've had, all that, you know, all that talk.
That was quick.
People don't really have all the information on that either. Like, you know, is it clear that Guardian caps – are helpful for non-offensive or defensive linemen. The way that they're built, it's to minimize the little micro-concussions, the bang your head constantly. That's not how Tua gets hurt, right? He gets hurt by the knockout blows. And so will a guardian cap even affect that? So, like, there are a lot of factors here that people are basing their opinions on with not all the information. Now, all that being said, you're absolutely right. Like, he has to save the season. He might, and this is crazy to say, he might have to save the jobs of the people that gave him that contract, right? I mean, I don't think Chris Greer can feel great about where things are right now.
I hope not.
And if things go in the toilet, if this team with this talent goes 5-12, 6-11, I don't know how anyone could think they're safe, because this is the roster that Mike McDaniel wanted. This is the approach that Mike McDaniel wanted. This is the offense that he built for basically one quarterback, and then that quarterback is injury prone. There are going to be questions there. So, yeah, I mean, Tua has to feel some of that. He has to know that Mike and Chris staked their careers on him, and six quarters into it, he got hurt, and he has to come back, and he has to save a team that, by the way, this is their window. This year and maybe next year, that's it. Then all these guys, all these players that we've grown to really enjoy watching play here, they're going to be gone. I mean, yeah, maybe the Waddles of the world, and we'll see with Jalen Phillips, his injury situation, and maybe they give John Holland a contract and all this. But they're going to turn that roster over in the next 18 months. And the question is, will Tua be part of that turnover if things go sideways or if he gets hurt again? I don't think there's any guarantee that he's the quarterback here in 2026.
Bees, I'll give you one better. They got to win for the next five games. That you look at that, I'm sure you have.
Mm-hmm.
Besides Arizona, you got Rams in there. You've got Las Vegas in there. You got Buffalo. Going to be a tough game, but the rest of those games.
I will say this, Joe. The Jets and Browns don't look nearly as tough as they did when the season started.
No. You're right. Cleveland softens that last six games up, and I don't listen. I'm guessing right now the Jets and the Dolphins, that's a coin flip, right?
Mm-hmm. Especially if Tua plays the way that, you know, we think he can. Yeah, I think they absolutely can play well against the Jets. I think that is a – look, Aaron Rodgers should not be running NFL franchises, and that's what he's doing there, and you can see the result. But, yeah, absolutely, you can't lose to the likes of the Raiders, right? You can't do that. The Cardinals, I've been running the stats the last couple of days. There's a reason the Dolphins are three-point favorites. Like, they're favored in that game. It's a 1 o'clock game for a West Coast team on a short week. That the math for that never works well. Like, they got to travel cross country, and their bodies still probably don't feel right for Monday night. That game ended, I think, like midnight Eastern time, like maybe even later. So you're what, not even 36 hours removed from that football game, and they have to get ready for the Dolphins and leave in probably 2 days. So and the Cardinals defense is no good. You go and look at their personnel and their stats, they're not a good defense. They're a pretty good running offense, but aside from Marvin Harrison, they've got no pass offense. Like, that, you got to win these games. If you consider yourself a true playoff contender, and they think beyond that, that's how they enter the season. They think we're not content just getting in. We want to make noise there. You cannot lose with your starting quarterback back at home to an Arizona Cardinals team. It's not very good.
I got to ask you a question. I asked Omar this yesterday. I'm curious your take on it because you see it up close. River Craycraft comes back. I have him take Odell Beckham Jr.'s position. What about for you?
He's going to take a lot of his snaps for sure. There's no one, and again, we can talk about five targets and no completions, one interception. Some of that's obviously on the quarterback. He had the one yesterday, or not yesterday, on Sunday.
A couple days ago, yeah.
Yeah, that was a late throw. That should have been a big gainer, maybe a touchdown. I want to see him with Tua before I really make that judgment. But in the run game, I mean, Craycraft is probably pound for pound their best blocker. He absolutely, and honestly, it's crazy. I think that if he didn't get hurt, this season looks a lot different, because I don't think they're in a position where Tua in that Bills game is having to run for his life, essentially, fourth and whatever, lowering your shoulder because you're down three touchdowns or whatever it was. Yeah. I think it's a much closer game, and he's not in that situation. So, yeah, there are a lot of injuries that kind of gone under the radar, and I think Craycraft is the biggest one.
You know what's crazy? Besides, the defense been a nice story. They've been really good. And I thought I love the game plan. I love the aggressive play calling defensively in that last game. But the offensive line has actually played pretty damn well. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say the quarterbacks didn't have a chance. I thought the run – the offensive starting five played really well, not to mention the fullback blocking. Hill did a nice job, and some from the fullback. What'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a double-edged sword, because if you lose three different quarterbacks in 6 weeks, yeah. I mean, that's not great for the offensive line, but Tua got hurt in a scramble, and I think Snoop did too, right? He was flushed out.
Yes, he did. Yep, I know, outside.
Skyler got rocked. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. He got rocked, but he was
self-inflicted, yeah.
Yeah, I think they've been better than expected, to your point, and running the football, definitely. I think they kind of a little bit discovered their identity, that, you don't need to do this finesse stuff to be effective. You can just line up and shove it down their throats. They're still going to always run that outside zone because that's the bread and butter of this offense, but you can do it in a physical way that really gets it going. And if you put Tua in second and three, third and two situations, he's going to light up the Cardinals.
I agree.
He's going to light them up. That's what they need to do. First down play action, first down downhill running, get yourself in second and manageable, and let Tua go to work. I think that's the game plan for Sunday.
Well, can't wait to see what it's going to look like this Sunday. Bees, thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on.
All right, let's not make it wait so long till the next time you call me, all right?
All right, welcome back, you rascals. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. And we're giving away Heat opening night tickets today on the show. Keep on listening to details on how you can win. I'll tell you how I'm doing Pat Riley trivia in the last hour of today's program. All right, in the program, Pat Riley trivia.
Love me some trivia.
Leroy, before, I know you're going to bounce early today, so can we win a weather update from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm? Sure. YourExAttorneys.com, free consultations 24-7, call them at 866-954-MORE.
I'm liking the coolness in the mornings. It's quite lovely.
Easy breezy.
It is breezy. Those clouds are humming out of the east. I'm going to say it's got to be 15-plus miles an hour. Trees are doing the way back. Yep, and it is... I'd say more on the mostly cloudy side. But here's what's crazy. We got weird rain.
Yeah.
Lately. We've had some weird rain. Like, it'll just be like a spritzer. No heavy downpours, but it'll just start raining and it'll last for like 2 or 3 minutes and that's it. So I don't know if we classify that as rain. Yes, but not what we're accustomed to in Florida.
It's been weird. It's been weird.
Yep.
Also weird, the Tua press conference yesterday. Weird. Tua.
Why do you call that weird, huh?
He was very aggressive.
Very confrontational or defiant, I would say.
I would say
this. Talking about.
Tua spoke as if though he's sick and tired of people telling him how he should go about living his life.
That's right.
Yeah. And he has every right to do that. You know, like, oh, he should try. He should do that. Shut the hell up.
That's
exactly
right.
What he was saying. Like, you're not, none of you are doctors. I'm working with doctors, right? They have cleared me.
Yep.
I know I have to be a little safer in how I go about things. But from that standpoint, it's none of your damn business.
That's right.
Basically, way he went at it, and he has every right to.
He has every right to. I think it's also a snowball of the team sucking. You know, he's felt symptom free for 5 weeks, and the team isn't good, and he hasn't really been able to do anything about it. Though
he may have been annoyed that he was put on injury reserve. Like, you understand, if you have a concussion, even if you get a concussion during a game on a away trip.
Mm-hmm.
They will keep you overnight. If his concussion was that bad, why was he on the road next week?
He said he was fine the next day.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So it's a weird, it was a real, and I can understand if he's upset that people did things to look good, but not things based on how they were. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That can be annoying from a player's perspective.
Here's a little bit of Tua. You got this, Marcos? Is this all set to go? He was asked about the message he has for those concerned about him, and he says he loves this game to the death of him.
There are a lot of people out there legitimately worried about your health and making sure that you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to those that are worried that you might get hurt again and this is something that's going to continue?
I appreciate your concern. I really do. I love this game, and I love it to the death of me. That's it.
There you go, Tua.
Hey,
what a prize! I love the game.
Can I just say this?
Goosies.
Do you see how guys play out there? Do you see how guys hit each other?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what guys go through? Look what Nick Chubb's just gone through.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Granted, it's a different injury, but there's a lot of that. And because you have a hot topic. Or we have a hot topic, we use this one or this injury without looking at, you know, what everybody is putting their body through to play this game.
Well, I mean, quarterbacks are getting more headlines than anybody else, and his concussions have been very violent and not necessarily, you know, not necessarily on the craziest hits either, like the reaction that he's had. So, I mean, at one hand, yes, he has for sure been treated differently and covered differently than everybody else. But on the other side of it, his have definitely been very visually upsetting to people to watch.
I think the bigger thing is that you have to understand that it's not necessarily the hit that has gotten him in trouble. See, quarterbacks. Unlike other people, I would say unlike me, I got so used to getting hit, I learned how to put my body in a better position to get hit. Mm. Remember before the season, I was talking to you about this.
Yes.
You got to get hit a couple of times so you know how to protect yourself. When is it time to be an aggressor, or when is it time to protect yourself? You got to go through it a little bit to get back into that flow. Quarterbacks don't necessarily know how to do that because they may get hit 3 or 4 times a game the same way I did. Most of their hits are sacks, right? And so if you're getting sacked, a lot of times you don't have time to protect yourself.
Right.
So
but this is
it's a weird thing.
But this is, I think that's what is such a throw off about what happened with this one in particular, because it didn't look like that violent of a hit, and it wasn't, right. It wasn't, you know, this, ooh, you know, it he was trying to make something happen, and
right.
Something that looked pretty innocuous ended up looking very scary, even if it didn't end up being right. More severe than the last one.
I think in all honesty, in that situation, he kind of jammed his neck more than got a concussion.
Maybe.
And it looked that way because it wasn't any sudden jarring or anything like that. It was more of a, like a, he kind of, you know, got his neck jammed. And like, to sit here and watch on TV and try to identify what's happening or what's going on when we're not medical professionals is not only wrong, and we shouldn't be, but it's also unfair to the player, because now everybody gets in a tizzy over what's going on with Tua, and now we get into the mode of making it look good instead of identifying what's actually going on.
Well, yeah, that's going to be something he has to talk about the organization with, because they got so much heat the last time because right. They felt like they put him in a vulnerable spot.
Right.
And there's no way that the next time this happens, he's not going to be maybe right. Even shelved longer if it does happen again, which I hope it does not. But
right.
I don't know if this is I definitely understand him being pissed at the media and being pissed at everybody's overreactions or over coverage of this. And I almost felt like it was, I listening what? To yesterday, it felt like badgering almost to a point. Like, I don't know what everybody was really trying to get out of that. Like, he kind of made his point, and I, but he also has to realize, like, the organization is the one that decided to put him on IR, and they're probably going to treat him like that again. I don't think that's going to change no matter how pissed he is.
But they were feeling the heat from people who really shouldn't have a say so in what's going on.
Yeah, but they had the doctors, you know?
Okay, like, right. But no, you we had this conversation from the beginning. Regardless of how healthy or hurt Tua was, they're going to make it look good.
The coach seems to disagree, though. The coach is out there saying the doctors told him time was needed.
Okay.
You know?
And like, that could all, you know, like, I just think that we, like, again, you put it in the hands of the medical staff and everybody shut up and hope for the best. And we don't do that.
Here is
try to tell people what, you know, oh, he should do this or that. And then next thing you know, it's a national story. Next thing you know. And like, yeah, man, like, it's hard enough.
Here's Tua saying he feels like he is treated different than other athletes.
I just think it's based off of whatever that individual feels. If you feel like you can go, you can go. I just think this is only becoming a thing just because of what ended up happening 2 years ago for myself within the sport. I hate that it's happened, but we don't look at boxers the same way. We don't look at hockey players the same way. But I just think because of what happened and the magnitude that had, that it's becoming more of an issue here in the league.
I don't necessarily agree with that, that boxers aren't and fighters aren't put under the concern of CT and things like that. I don't.
After they're done, after they get to Evander Holyfield.
Well, I don't, but a lot of them, I think the thing that he misses on that is, like, a lot of them don't have the choice that he does, fortunately. And I get it. He wants to keep playing. He's not a 38-year-old fighter or a 40-year-old fighter. He's a 26-year-old quarterback in the prime of his career. He feels great. But he also has a lot more security than a lot of fighters do. A lot of fighters fight because they got to fight.
Yeah, I'll definitely give you that. Yeah.
You don't know that he see the crazy thing about this is here we go again. You don't know that he doesn't feel that way.
That I don't feel like
you're looking at his situation and telling him.
He just said it.
No, but
he just said it.
No, but I'm saying, like, he may feel that the same way they feel when they go. It's not about the money for him, but the need to kind of.
A lot of fighters, it is for the money, though.
Right, right. But the reasons that you pick and choose, like, just because the reasons are we choose money for the fighters doesn't mean that the reason why Tua feels he has to come back and play isn't just as important. And for us to just say, you got the money, don't worry about it. He may not be thinking like that. He may be thinking along the lines of, listen, I want to.
I know what he's thinking. I mean, I'm sure he's thinking that he's in the prime of his career. He feels great. He loves football. He doesn't want to stop.
Right. But that's just as important to him as a boxer fighting for money.
Yeah, but I don't know if a boxer's continuing if he doesn't have to do it financially. Like a lot of boxers, like, you know, you think Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield are stepping in the ring at 58? If that's the case, probably not. Mm. If they weren't effed by other promoters taking their dough.
Yeah.
But I get it. Look, I'm not demonizing Tua. He should play football if he wants to play football. But I do think that was like, to say that you're the only person people are concerned about in sports, I thought that was like a little bit of a blind spot, but I get his, he's pissed about it.
He turned on the TV. Why wouldn't he think that?
What did Rex Ryan say that you were so,
So, Rex, did you get it, Frog Boy?
Oh, well, Tobin wants to ask for 5 cuts. Poor Leroy doesn't get to play as Rex Ryan. Don't worry, Leroy. I'll take care of you. Give me 45 seconds.
Okay. Wow. Like, what was he doing the entire time? Like, he's like, this guy's sitting here and he's like just looking at us. He goes, oh, the sound that I sent you 6 minutes ago and this is the sound I asked for 7 minutes ago. I don't have that sound either. Can you just give me an idea what he said? What was it talking about?
He was just blasting Aaron Rodgers saying that, yeah, he's not playing well, and he wanted to talk about the red line. He said the ball was 20 yards short. I don't care where he was throwing it.
No.
And that's just how I'm like, sounds like something I said. And people were saying, no, they clarified it. He ran the wrong route. I'm like, I don't care what route he ran. The ball was short.
Nobody ever wants to say anything about Aaron Rodgers.
No. If I say something, it's because I'm a hater, which wasn't the case. Now I got some backing from some other people.
Is that the guy you want backing you?
No, not really.
Old feetsies?
No, not really. Not really.
Take a break. We'll hear from Rex Ryan lashing out at Aaron Rodgers and more too. Coming up next. Welcome back. It's Tobin and Leroy here with you. 560 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. Let's get the headlines, which are brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. At Doral Volkswagen, choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock, like the Tiguan, the Taos, and the Atlas. Remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen. In the NFL, Miami Dolphins are getting ready for the Arizona Cardinals. And we have ourselves a lot of good news as far as the health is concerned. Emmanuel Ogba and Javon Holland expected to play, according to Mike McDaniel. Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, who were on the injury report. Tyreek had a foot, Waddle had a quad. But Mike McDaniel says he's very optimistic they will both play. Tua has cleared concussion protocol, so he is good to go.
Waddle was limping last game, so it'll be interesting to see if he's going to play.
And then in just a heartbreaker, Zach Sealer is out on Sunday after being poked in the eye. It's tough. Not exactly a unit they have a lot of depth in either.
Nope. And literally the only good thing that's happened for the Dolphins has been Zach Sealer's play.
Man.
The thing is the way they use those defensive linemen, though, they can move one inside. Because a lot of times, Calais Campbell's outside, so they move them around.
They also are going to be without Kader Kohu, Storm Duck, and let's see.
Storm Duck is out?
Storm Duck is unlikely to play, according to Barry Jackson. He's been on the injury report. They are going to get Cam Smith back. So we could see a little Cam Smith action. Why are you shaking your head, Froggy?
Whoop-de-doo, Cam. Welcome to the team, dude.
Well, he's been hurt. He's been on injured reserve.
He's been hurt. Yeah, Noah Igbinogheni 2.0.
Don't do that. We don't know that yet, okay? It's too early to call that.
Who comes on in their second year? Like, who have we been like, okay, it was until week 15. What cornerback comes on in his second year after not starting for an entire year and a half?
Well, Noah had a lot of inactives, but this was an injury. So maybe he would have played a little bit more if he wasn't hurt. He had a bad hammy.
At least Noah won us a game.
Well,
that was year two or three, though.
Woo, took forever. Took forever.
Where is he now?
You know, I believe
he's still in Washington.
That's right.
He was in the preseason. I don't know if he's stuck there. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it says he's still with the Commanders.
Okay. All right. Good for again, the first place.
That's a whole bunch of teams. He's like 22 years old.
Wow. Six tackles last game.
Really?
Yeah.
Against about that?
Panthers, but, you know, still. Man, you know.
Tackles are tackles.
Tackles are tackles.
Good for him.
Ball's in your court, Cam Smith.
What is he, 22, 23? Dude been in the league forever.
24.
This is like his fifth year, though, right?
Man.
First round of 2020.
He was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fifth year. 24 years old.
Let's see.
Combined 24 tackles this season. Look at that. Look at that.
Noah's. He's all grown up. What
did you think was going to happen when you drafted a 19-year-old? It was going to take time.
I think he was 19. I think he was 20. But, you know, I get your point. You know who never made that excuse? Austin Jackson.
Oh, tough.
Also young. But Noah beat him to the punch with that excuse. Can't have two guys using the age excuse.
That's true. I mean, come on. Reserved for one person on the team.
Exactly. World Series begins tonight. Game one between the Yankees and Dodgers. Who's your pick, Leroy?
Come on.
Make a pick, Leroy.
Dodgers.
Yeah.
They stop teams from scoring, and they have, like, would you take Ohtani? Who's the other two guys?
You got Mookie Betts.
Mookie Betts and who's the first baseman?
Freddie Freeman.
Is it so? No.
Juan Soto's on the Yankees.
Juan Soto's on the Yankees. Will you take those three over Juan Soto, Judge, and...
It appears our boy Miguel Rojas is healthy, so it seems like he is going to make his way back as well.
And let's not forget, it would only be fitting that somebody who played for the Marlins earlier this year wins a race.
Well, that's going to happen. That's going to happen. It's either going to be, I mean, if it's this year, Jazz Chisholm, but you're either going to have the face of the Marlins, basically, which was Miguel Rojas for many years, or his mortal enemy, Jazz Chisholm.
Oh, yeah.
Those two hate each other. Man. Rojas had an abductor strain and a sports hernia.
Those are the worst.
He has been dealing with that.
They put the little baggie in to hold everything in place.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get scar tissue. And the healing process starts. You got to tear that scar tissue.
He probably won't start because they've been – I mean, Kike Hernandez has been – he's been killing it for them. So, but Rojas, I'm sure, will get into some games because shortstop, he's a great defender. So, if you guys want to look at some former fish – this World Series is for you.
Everybody's doing the fish. Yeah.
We are not.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep my eye out on see how my boy Tony Rizzo is going to do with those broken fingers, huh?
He was back last season. He was back in the ALCS.
Oh, well, because there's no more Browns games to watch. So, of course, he has.
I can't believe you thought that was Anthony Rizzo, first baseman, instead of Tony Rizzo.
Can't believe you didn't respond to my DM.
Radio host.
Come on, Anthony. Won't you respond to my DM, dude?
By the way, to all the Inter Miami whiners who say I haven't mentioned it, I literally started the last segment talking about it. So
true.
By the way,
playoffs are tomorrow, right?
Tonight. They. By the way, speaking of the Pinks, now. I couldn't understand these rumors, but Neymar, apparently there's some fodder that Neymar is the Pinks have put in an offer for Neymar from his current club. So that's what's perusing around to it. I don't know. Soccer rumors are very weird.
Yeah, because you got to pay a transfer fee.
It's just not only that. They come from all over the place. I don't know. But it but there's a lot of there's a lot of Neymar buzz this morning that the Pinks might get him this winter. So
wow,
that could be a thing. You know who that's going to make happy? Jimmy Bucket, his best friend.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure.
Malice over here.
Was that? What was that? Would you care to share with the class?
I'll say, wouldn't that be something if Neymar comes into town and Jimmy goes out of town?
What was that character? What was that Snitchy Mouse?
I don't know.
I haven't seen you since the bubble, man.
Neymar could come into town. Somebody could be heading out of town.
Speaking of the Heat, they are back at practice. That's probably going on right now.
Probably making all of their shots.
Probably. Wow. They take on the Hornets tomorrow. Hornets are going to be second out of a back-to-back. They will not have their high-flying second-year wing, Brandon Miller. He has a glute strain.
Ooh. I'm sorry.
That's literally busting your ass.
Yep.
So you got point that. For the he probably hero. Fell. And that booty bone, he got a big old hematoma on his butt. Oh, yeah.
Whoa. He is out tonight, and it will be reevaluated in a week.
Wow. So he got, whoa.
Yep.
Goodness, he got serious.
Weak.
That ass got torn up.
Yeah. I tell you what you can't do with a glute strain. Run.
What? What?
Lowry?
That's crazy. Oh, man. We're having fun, people. We'll take a break. Something pretty cool happened yesterday. I'll tell you about that next.
Nice.
All right, welcome back. Tobin and Leroy here with you. Oh, hello, Jennifer.
Hello, Jennifer.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Good enough, decorator.
Wow, you guys lost.
Okay.
Oh, did we? We got annihilated by Power 96.
We may have won if you would have helped me, but no, you would walk away.
I think Power 96, to be honest with you, here's the thing. I don't mean to throw an asterisk at anybody.
Oh!
You guys get to play music for like 15 minutes between times talking. Like, that's you got a lot of timey time.
We're the opposite. They talk for 30 seconds and then play 15 minutes of music.
Right.
And we do 15 minutes of talking and then go to commercial for a couple of minutes.
I don't think that's very fair. I don't think that's very fair. And also, you guys put up a tarp on your window. I couldn't see what was going on in there. What am I supposed to do? Interrupt to see your haunted house? Well,
right, that's true too. Also, they have a different layout in the studio than we do. And also, we have a bunch of people in the studio, and you don't want to like obstruct their view, or you don't want Joe Rose to get angry in the morning, or there's just a lot of moving parts, and they don't have that. We do.
They're the only two people in that studio. We have
that.
Three different shows.
This thing is going on.
Oh no, guys, the excuse train is coming through. Give it a second.
Is that the same train that keeps J-Fig for being on work on time?
No, it's the same train that he takes to get away from the station, huh?
Oh.
Mr. I'm never here, huh?
Oh, wow.
Tobin's muted. Back. But beyond Tobin being muted, the train that I take is the
he muted himself.
I'm sorry. I was like, I got Zach Sealer.
Oh, no. Watch out. Got to wear goggles from now on. I want Zach Sealer to adopt the Kareem goggles now.
I swear to God, if I find out it was Eichenberg.
Oh,
I
mean, you know it was, dude. You know it
busy
was.
Busy fingers. Old busy fingers Eichenberg.
Oh, gosh.
Wild, dude. Well, I'm sorry you guys lost your decoration contest.
It wasn't even close.
It's okay. I'm not salty about it. Apparently, Marcos is, but he has no reason to because he didn't help.
I monitored.
Wow.
I will go over there.
My big guess is, now how long are these Halloween decorations going to be up past next week?
Oh,
because I'm going to say till April.
Hmm. Wow. What's your rule
for my birthday?
What's your rule on Christmas tree? I see people putting up Christmas trees already.
What do you mean ruling on it?
Like, are you in favor of putting up a Christmas tree like in October? Are you okay?
I don't know, dude. I'll tell you what, because I've been redoing the garage, so I've been at Home Depot a lot over the last month, and I was stunned because I started this in September to put the new windows in here.
Yeah,
and I was like, September, there's already Christmas stuff out?
Christmas stuff, dude.
And now I gotta tell you, Home Depot, they are making a killing, dude. They have so many decorations out there. Like, you could make Clark Griswold blush with the kinds of decorations you could buy from them now. Used to be a couple blow-ups. That's all you got at Home Depot. Dude, they have a giant, like, Mickey and Minnie Mouse Christmas you could buy now. You could buy a giant Christmas minion that looks like it should be it's a Small World.
Now they have trees that the lights also go to the music or something.
Oh, well, listen, that's been around. I'm talking about like the lawn decorations now, Jay Figger, out of control with what they're selling.
Especially the Halloween ones, though. Have you seen those?
Yeah.
And they have that big snowman, like a Yeti for Christmas.
I have not seen the Yeti, but that's kind of a cool decoration.
I like that one.
Just giant Yeti?
Yep.
It's huge.
Yep. I do like that. But the decorations are crazy. I'm not going to tell you something, though. Pretty penny. Like
do you do decorations, Tobes?
For Christmas? Yes. Halloween, I have been kind of going cheap. We put out a big Señor Gato out front. But that was it.
That's it, huh? All right.
Pretty much.
Oh,
cool looking though.
Sounded judgy there, Leroy.
Yeah, judgy. What'd you do? I don't see you out there carving pumpkins.
Here's the problem. If I were to do decorations, my front yard is so far from the street, it would cost $1 bazillion for anybody to be able to see it. So, no.
Mm. Talk about excuse machines. Easy to join it for you.
I don't like them like that.
What about Christmas?
Now, Big Spoon is a different story. She already got like Thanksgiving stuff in the house with the, you know, the different colors and stuff like that.
Yep.
Whatever.
Wow. Yeah.
All I want for Thanksgiving is my turkey and my sweet potato pie.
I got a big giant turkey inflatable. That's going up November 1st.
A big what?
Giant turkey inflatable. That's going up November 1st.
All right.
It's big. It's like obnoxiously big.
Mm. Can you like
that's fair, show though. Us later? November 1st. Thanksgiving decorations totally allowed.
Yep. Christmas decorations do not go up until Black Friday.
That's what I'm saying.
And people that put them up early.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You used to not even be able to buy a Christmas tree until the day after Thanksgiving.
You can
buy them like in the beginning of November.
We used to be a society that followed a guideline, and now it just seems like, what's the earliest we can throw it out there for people to go start spending their cash? And by the way, no early bird specials. Like, if I buy a Christmas decoration in October, you can't give me a 20% discount or something like that? No, they're like $400 for a giant minion with a Santa hat on it. I'm like, jeez.
I think Mariah Carey started defrosting early September, so.
What?
Yeah, she just keeps coming closer and closer to the beginning of the year.
We will take a break. Mix things up. Marcos has promised crazy Aaron Rodgers sound that he's infuriated about. Bring that to you coming up next.
All financing on approved credit. Dealer must verify.
Oro Toro is downtown Miami's hottest steakhouse, located inside the Intercontinental Miami along Biscayne Bay. All their steaks are prime cut, including the tableside tomahawk carving melted with bone marrow butter. And it's never too early to start thinking about Thanksgiving. Perfect location to enjoy with family and friends, and a festive holiday menu featuring oven-roasted turkey breast with creamy guava mole and their house-made caramel apple cheesecake. Learn more at ToroToroMiami.com. Indeed.com or make a reservation on OpenTable.
Joe Rose here. If you're a Florida business owner looking to sell your business, then you need to call my main man, Anthony Caliendo, at the Business Broker Experts, the number one business broker in the state of Florida.
Joe, I've been servicing the South Florida community for over 25 years and helping business owners across the state and nationwide sell their businesses fast and for the most cash.
And the main man doesn't just list businesses, he packages businesses to sell.
That's right, Joe. I'm a master at maximizing the value of your business and matching sellers and qualified buyers for a strong transition. Simply put, there's nobody better in the business than me. I'm the best at what I do, so if you're tired of all the stress, tired of all the headaches, or just tired of being tired, then call the main man today and allow me to flip your biz and cash out big.
Don't know how much your business is worth? Call the main man today and get a free valuation worth $2,500. Just mention me, Joe Rose. Call the main man now at 1-800-THE-MAIN-MAN. That's 1-800-843-6246 or visit him at themainman.com.
South Florida sports bettors. Tune in every Saturday at 7 a.m. for the TakingVegas.com radio show. Get all the information you need to win this weekend. That's every Saturday at 7 a.m. on AM 560 Sports WQAM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Meet Cheryl.
Hey.
She's on vacation and lost in the moment. Unfortunately, so is her Chase debit card.
It's got to be somewhere.
Maybe she lost it at Salsa Night.
These skirts should have pockets.
Or maybe she lost it at Pilates.
Three and two and...
But she's not worried. With the Chase mobile app, she can lock her card till it turns up. Tools that help protect. One bank that puts you in control. Visit chase.com/checking. Chase, make more of what's yours.
Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank, N.A. member FDIC.
Paul's new drone startup just lost its most genius computer scientist.
We just lost our best genius to some new genius who's got a genius new idea. I'm going to have to find a new genius or two half geniuses and fast.
He needs a computer scientist that can keep his startup from falling down.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job on Indeed, it's easier for talented candidates to find it, which makes it easier for you to hire them. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Have you downloaded the free Odyssey app and made WQAM your favorite station? Do it. Listen to us live or on demand and use the rewind feature to go back and listen to any part of any shows you might have missed.
I say he's so sweet. I come on the rapper. So I let it till I say I'm like a lollipop. She said I'm like a lollipop. Shout out like a lollipop. She said I'm like a lollipop.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Tobin, Leroy here with you. 560 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program.
Got my stuff in.
Your stuff?
My prize picks.
All right. We'll get to some of that coming on up as well. We'll find out what Leroy's got, what action he's got. But first, the mixed bag.
The mixed bag. I've been waiting for this, Marcos. You better not disappoint, you bum.
All righty then. I mentioned it. You know what? Tobin, lower the music, please.
But you have control of the...
lower the music, please.
All right. Here.
This is serious, guys. This is serious. I would consider a lot of the radio people I know as wordsmiths for sure. But what I heard from Aaron Rodgers is almost an attack on the English language.
Wow.
Almost an attack on journalism. It feels like a crime against our nation. I'm going to let you hear this Aaron Rodgers cut. You tell me if anything is out of the ordinary for any reason.
I mean, every year presents its own challenges, and thankfully we're not to the denouement of this season. You know, there's still a lot of time left. I think it's important that we all just stay as sanguine as possible. You know, it's a long season. There's a lot of ups and downs. We've had a lot of adversity already this season. We just got to stick together and get one and then start to build off of that.
I go,
what?
We are not at the denouement of the season yet,
And everyone needs to remain sanguine. Let's, okay. Let's get the proper spelling of these words.
Damon, I know sanguine is S-E-N-G-U-I-N, right?
I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
S-A-N-G-U-I-N-E is sanguine, and he is referring to optimistic or positive. Everyone okay. must remain optimistic or positive.
That is annoying.
Denouement. D-E-N-O-U-E-M-E-N-T. The final part of a play or a movie in which the strands of the plot are drawn together and matters are explained or resolved.
Well, that is annoying.
It's a big word.
Now,
it's a big word for me, dog.
One may wonder very simply, why the hell did he just say that? We're not at the end of the season. Everyone needs to remain optimistic. No, instead, he chose this route.
I mean, every year presents its own challenges, and thankfully, we're not to the denouement of this season. You know, there's still a lot of time left. I think it's important that we all just stay as sanguine as possible. You know, this it's a long season. There's a lot of ups and downs.
Shut up, dude! What are you serious? Do you think this is a joke? This is, he did this on purpose.
Well, let me tell you something, dude. He may not be at the denouement of the season, but we may be watching the denouement of Aaron Rodgers. Might be au revoir.
No way he does that for any other reason than to piss people off or to get attention. Yep.
Definitely.
You don't just say those words. Those words have never been said in the same paragraph, let alone the same sentence.
You know, I like a guy like Tua. You know, Tua was asked about what he learned from this whole situation.
Yeah.
He doesn't try and sugarcoat it with French words. He just goes, don't get concussions. And I was like, genius.
Pretty good.
He's right. Hey.
Denouement.
He's being pretentious.
What?
Does he not want anybody to like him? Because he is going out of his way to be that dude, right?
Yep, certainly is.
Listen, I already said what I had to say about it. Because I told you what 40 and the Achilles looks like. So he can use all the big words he wants. His body using very little words. Ow, and too old.
Run for his life. Who they got this weekend? Patriots, right?
Yes, they do have the soft Patriots.
It's interesting. It is interesting. And you got Bill Belichick kind of throwing dirt at Gerard Mayo a little bit. Him and his cronies on a podcast? I mean, he's everywhere now, Bill Belichick.
He threw dirt at him. Why?
Because he was like, well, they weren't off last year when we were fourth in the league and stopping the run.
They also don't have a lot of the same guys.
Hey, take it up with your former coach, dude.
I'm just saying, like,
he's team petty.
Why do we do that? I'm team petty too. Right? But not like that.
Well, you know, that response is just a quintessential perfunctory by Bill Belichick, I think.
And now, shut up, Marco. Can I just, wow. Let me just say this.
Clip that though.
Pretty good.
Could it be, please. Could it be that Bill Belichick is being a little petty because rumor has it, or Robert Kraft said, I didn't hear the words exactly, I heard he said that he wanted Mayo 5 years ago.
He picked him at least to be the succeeding coach five years ago. Yes.
So, could that be one of the reasons why they kind of ushered Bill Belichick out?
I don't know. I mean, possible. It's possible. It definitely, you can't rule it out. It definitely got frosty with Tom Brady leaving, because if you go 5 years ago, that's pretty much when Tom Brady left, right? Like, that's right before he left.
Right.
So
maybe Bill is putting all this together and go, oh,
yep.
This on me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he's a little
cantankerous. You think that's why he's a little cantankerous, maybe?
Listen, they're both going through a really...
Hold on.
What? What's that?
No. We're not...
No, what?
Stop.
Stop being Aaron Rodgers.
Typically, he's more perspicacious.
Good. There you go. Now you're back. Typically. You're back, you bum. You tried to use a big word you can't even say.
Typically, use the Tyler... Hit yourself with the Tyler Hero, you bum.
Usually,
and a minus one.
More perspicacious.
It's a big word for me, dog.
Perspicacious.
Give up, Marcos.
Give up. Usually, I've heard him be more perspicacious.
What else you got, Aaron Froggers?
Let's go to a quarterback who talks normal. Lamar Jackson.
Oh.
He was asked, do you think Derrick Henry can get the rushing title this year? Is what the Ravens quarterback had to say.
Single season rushing record. What do you think so far? I mean, seven games in, what do you think his chances are?
It's there. Like, I feel like he is. He has a great chance of achieving that. I think he can do it. I believe he can do it.
Wow. It'd be kind of cool.
So he's at 863.
Jesus, already?
Somewhere along that. And we're not even halfway in.
He's at 873.
Keep in mind.
In seven games, right? Seven games?
Yeah. Keep in mind, he does get an extra game.
Does he?
Yep. Yeah.
Makes it.
That happened with OJ, too. That happened with OJ, too.
Makes it even more incredible with OJ Simpson. He did it in 14 games.
Yeah.
He ran for 2,014 games.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And then Eric Dickerson broke the record in 16 games. And that's the record that currently stands, if I'm not mistaken.
It is.
2,105 yards.
2,105. AP was just shy of 2,100. 2,097. Jamal Lewis, 2,066 in 2003. Barry Sanders, 2,053. Derrick Henry did 2,027 in 2020. O.J. Simpson.
So wait, who's the Tennessee running back? Didn't he get 2000 from Eastern Carolina?
Chris Johnson.
Chris Johnson. Did he get 2000?
He did. Seventh all time now. 2006.
Okay.
Terrell Davis did 2008.
Oh.
And O.J. Simpson 2003. So there have been eight to eclipse that mark.
Mm. Yep. I remember when I got into the league, Eric Dickerson was at the end of his career, and he was about as smooth as you could possibly be while making people miss like Barry Sanders. It was amazing.
Yeah. Last year we were doing 2,000 counts for Cheetah. Oh. I just want 1,000.
I'll take a 100-yard game.
Eesh. Wow. There you go. Something.
What else you got, Froggy?
I think it's important that you guys remain equanimity. I don't even think I'm using these right. I'm just trying to get them off. We talked briefly about how the Sixers are already showing their true colors. Charles Barkley had something to say on Joel Embiid's load management, as he's been quoted as refusing to play back-to-backs anymore. This is what the round mound of rebound had to say.
Man, I don't have any idea what the Sixers are doing. You know, I don't think it's fair. Now, listen, I want to get this number right, because this is crazy. And bless the kid, number one. He just signed for 3 years, $193 million. 3 years, $193 million to play basketball. We're not steel workers. We're not nurses. Like, people who got like real jobs who have to work 40, 50 hours a week, we're playing basketball at the most 4 days a week. Most of the time, 3 days a week. He has the best backup in the league.
That's it?
I guess we'll never know what else about his backup.
He has the best backup in the league? Yeah, best Andre Drummond?
I don't think that's true at all.
Andre Drummond looks awkward on a basketball court.
It's been a while since Andre Drummond was like Andre Drummond.
I realize
he'll get you some rebounds, though. He'll get you some rebounds.
Yeah, it's pretty much it, though.
I hate when great players do what Joel Embiid is doing. Because Chuck has a point. It ain't like we asking you to put your body through, you know, this extensive, you know, grueling task. Right. You are the biggest person on the damn court.
Well, I think the other thing too that annoys a lot of the older guys, like you know, the flying is all this, and it's like, you know, I know, I guess there's more plays. Like if you wanted to break it down, like there's more running in basketball because there's more shots and whatnot. But is basketball, like, I think you could make the argument, I guess, that football is, you got bigger guys, stronger guys, but guys aren't necessarily playing less games. There's no football management.
Right.
Like, why is basketball taking such a drastic shift of, all right, guys, can we get 65 out of you? Will that be the minimum? You know
why? Guaranteed money, and you want your guy ready for the playoffs. But here's the other thing. Load management doesn't guarantee that.
Uh-huh.
And that's what where we're starting to get. Now, the guaranteed money portion of it, if you're an owner, you want your players at the biggest moments of the season.
Right.
So they're trying to get there. But the way basketball works is you're one play, no matter when that is, from stepping on an ankle and getting a high ankle sprain.
Yeah, there was like one, like, I'm trying to think about like the times it's definitely worked. Like Kawhi, it worked with Toronto. They did it with D Wade. It was one of the things LeBron was kind of annoyed with Dwayne's last year, is that he, you know, they really manages his injury and they were really careful about it. And so, you know, you had like Ray starting a lot of games and whatnot that last year, but man, Dwayne never missed playoff games.
Here's the other reason why you
can't. That was a team, you got to mind you, that was a team that went to the finals three straight years.
Right.
And so you're playing a lot of basketball. I just think, like, what are we gambling for something that, like, you might not end up getting paid off on?
Right. The other thing is that when you think about football, it's not five guys in positionless football. You're already limited on how many positions you can have, you know, how many people you can have at each position. So if a guy says, I'm load managing, and you put all that onto somebody else, your teammates are going to get pretty pissed off. Because now they got to carry the load. And keep in mind, in football, there's practice during the week. You also doing scout team, you're practicing. So if you take and say if Robert were to do like load management, I'm out this week. That means now I got to pick up all of his practice plays, his scout plays, then the game plays and stuff like that. So you can't, there's no way of managing that. You got to just play. So yeah, it doesn't really work. I mean, it kind of works in baseball. They do it, but only when a guy's slumping. They give him a day off. They don't go, things are going great, we don't want to burn you out, we're going to sit you out, you're batting 400. No, they want to keep it going. So basketball is the only sport where they say, we're going to load manage. And if that's the case, and if the NBA sees that's a problem, why are we doing back-to-backs?
Weird. And they've really limited the back-to-backs.
Right. But I don't think, so I think basketball is really the only sport. When you think about football and hockey, everybody's trying to prove how tough they are. They don't do that in basketball. They really don't. You don't hear of a guy, oh, he's played five games with this issue.
Yeah, there's two things in sports that felt like the genie's just never going to get put back in the bottle. And it feels like NBA playing and pitching. Like, those are the ones where, like, we're never right. Going back.
Which is crazy, because a lot of the people would say that, how are you going to be able to pitch this substantial amount of time in these amount of pitches if you never pitch those amount of pitches or for that substantial amount of time?
Well, I'll tell you where else you don't want to pitch count. In the bedroom, dude. You want to be able to go the entire complete game. No calls to the bullpen. That's why you want to try Blue Chew. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Now you can chew it and do it. It's online, right? So no doctor's visits. You don't got to go to the pharmacy. Get shipped right to your door in a discreet package. So whether you're married, you're looking to spice things up, or single, you're trying to impress somebody new, Blue Chew is for you. And I got a great deal for our listeners out there. You guys can try Blue Chew for free when you use our promo code SHOWPONY at checkout. You use the promo code SHOWPONY at checkout, you're paying just $5 for shipping, but you're getting your first month of Blue Chew for free. That's BlueChew.com. Use the promo code SHOWPONY. BlueChew.com. BlueChew.com.
SHOWPONY.